Please do have your Bibles open. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. In just a moment, I'll read from verse 36. First, I'll pray for us. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." So, God our Father, we thank you that upon your word we may solidly build our lives for this life and for eternity, because your word leads us to you. You know how there are so many distractions inside of us and outside of us. We pray for your Holy Spirit's help to see the world, to see you, to see ourselves, to see eternity as it truly is. So would this time now be a means of grace to us? And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew's Gospel, we continue these chapters, Matthew 24, 25. We're in chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. Let me read. Let's listen to God's word. "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware, until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Thanks be to God for his word to us today. It is truly terrible to be caught unprepared. Many of us will know that feeling from exams. You turn over the paper, you cannot answer the questions because you have not prepared properly. Still worse, insurance. You thought that you were covered, and then disaster strikes and you discover the paperwork wasn't quite right and you are miles out of pocket. But being unprepared for the day of Jesus coming, that is the greatest and worst disaster that could ever befall a human being. Now we are in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus is in conversation with his disciples. Do you remember how the conversation started? The disciples saw the massive stones of the temple as they walked past, and Jesus said they are all going to be torn down. Now the temple, of course, that was the only place on earth where you could meet with the one true God. And it was no surprise that the disciples thought that Jesus was talking about the end of the world. And in the first part of Matthew 24, where we were last week, it was not the end of the world, said Jesus, but the end of the earthly temple, violently, following a period of terrible suffering. And yes, that happened exactly as Jesus said. So we've got every reason to trust Jesus' words. They will never pass away. And we're to trust Jesus' words particularly, as now he does teach us and every age of disciples about the end of the world and the last judgment. Our first heading: Jesus will come to judge all people. Let's look at verse 36 again. "But concerning that day and hour." The same Lord Jesus, who died and who rose, who is himself the new temple, the place where we may meet with God, he will come back to judge all people. And Jesus says that he will come at the end of the age, he will come on that day. Previously in the chapter, Jesus was talking about those days, plural. He was speaking to the generation that lived between the cross and the end of the temple in 70 AD. But now he's talking about that day, concerning that day. Now, we know what that day is all about. You might remember from the very end of the Sermon on the Mount back in Matthew chapter 7. It is the day when people will come before the Lord Jesus and some will cry out, Lord, Lord, and enter his heavenly kingdom. And others will cry out to him, Lord, and will not enter his kingdom. And Jesus uses a special word here to tell us about that day. It's a technical Bible word. It's his parousia. So verse 37, so will be the parousia of the Son of Man. Verse 39, so will be the parousia of the Son of Man. It's not the coming of which we read earlier in the chapter. This is the Lord Jesus upon his throne to judge at the end of the age, as every knee bows to him, either in joy or in terror. And being unprepared for that, for the parousia, for the day of Jesus' final coming, that is the worst disaster that could ever befall a human being. So what would the Lord Jesus have us to know about his parousia, his coming to judge the living and the dead? Our next heading, the time is not known. Concerning that day and hour, Jesus says, no one knows. Now, that's another big clue that here at verse 36, Jesus starts to talk about a new subject. The preceding chunk of Matthew 24, there was a time frame. Jesus said you could, back then, you could have watched out for the pincer of Roman armies and their blasphemous presence in the city of Jerusalem, the horrific suffering of the siege, and you could know that the Son of Man's judgment on the temple was just around the corner. But the time of the parousia, not even the Son knows. Did you notice that? Not only the, but only the Father. Now, I have always found that a real puzzle. Here is something that God the Son does not know. Now, what do we make of that? The one who is fully God, he's also fully man, isn't he? We're told in the Gospels that the Lord Jesus, the man, grew in wisdom and knowledge. And here, it must be a case of Jesus choosing that his divine nature, his godness, should not exert itself. That's how Calvin put it. Maybe here is a tiny little glimpse into what is sometimes called the covenant of redemption, of how the Son submits to God the Father to accomplish the plan of salvation. Tricky, isn't it? But however we understand it, this here, it's an everlasting rebuke to the date mongers out there who are always trying to figure out when Jesus is coming back. You know, how dare we presume to know? We're to build our lives upon what he has told us and to leave the rest to him. And the time of the parousia, Jesus is entirely clear. It is not known. Next heading. People will be caught unawares. It's just like with the flood in verse 37. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, what was happening back in the days of the flood, but all of those years before the flood, when Noah was building the ark? Well, the people around him were getting on with the ordinary stuff of life. Jesus lists what they were doing, eating and drinking and marrying. Now, those are not sinful things. They're just normal things. And those men and women and boys and girls, as they went on with normal life, They were not expecting the sudden tide of God's judgment. Jesus says, verse 39, they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So why was it so unexpected to them? Well, unlike Noah, they did not know the Lord. They did not know the saving grace of God. They hadn't been made new such that they had ears to hear and believe God's warning. And for them, the normal everyday was everything. They were wrapped up in their own affairs, blinded to the greater realities around them. Satan doesn't just use obvious rebellion to keep people away from the Lord Jesus. He also just uses normal worldliness. Normal worldliness, normal distractions. They are a terrible tool in Satan's hands. And they're a danger too, aren't they? For Christian people, for people who have been given new life, who have been moved to believe the word of God. But we are so easily consumed by the normal everyday. It's so loud and colourful and all around us. And spiritual realities, heaven and hell and judgment, they actually seem quite quiet. The world is noisy and brightly coloured. God's word sometimes is quiet and black and white. We push the Lord to the periphery. The future return of Christ seems marginal, mundane and everyday things. Think of your normal mundane and everyday things. Do they not drown out so easily that which is eternal? It could happen gradually too, you know, a bit like frogs in a kettle, slowly turned up until heaven and the Lord Jesus have been drowned out. Now, maybe one little fruit from the last few months is that we've been made to feel a bit more mortal. We've been made to feel a bit more frail, some of us. And in God's hands, that can be a good thing. Let's go on, our next heading. There will be a division. Look at verse 40. Then, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. There will be a division between those who know and trust the Lord Jesus and those who do not. Now, all through the gospel, we've been told this. Jesus says, you know, he came to bring a sword. He came even to set parents against children. There'll be an utter division between those who trust and obey Jesus and those who do not. It happens in this life now. And there will come a day when that division is sealed. It's confirmed. It's finalized for all eternity. An irremediable separation of Christian and non-believer. Now, some of us will have been brought up to understand verses 40 and 41 as talking about the secret rapture of the church. Now, whether or not you believe that doctrine, it's plainly not taught here. This is talking about the judgment of those who are unrepentant and unwilling to turn to Jesus. The one who is taken here. They are taken for the purpose of judgment. And even that verb for taking, it's used elsewhere of judgment. So you could imagine, couldn't you, the normal and the mundane and the everyday. People are washing the car or doing the school run or playing a game or listening to music. When? And there's no time for parting words. The time comes when there is no more time, no more opportunity to repent and believe. Two people, they're working in a field and one person is taken to judgment. The other, they receive blessing in the presence of the Lord Jesus. So if the Lord Jesus was to take you or I in death today, or if the Lord Jesus were to return his parousia today, we are all asked, are we ready? Are we in Christ? Now, for those who have embraced the Lord Jesus, his return, it is not to be feared. It's actually to be longed for, to be anticipated, because we know, don't we, that the judgment we deserve was borne by the Lord Jesus in his death on the cross. Actually, for the Christian, our deaths, you know, death, though being an enemy, it is not to be feared, for it is the doorway to the face of Jesus, even before that final judgment day. But that day, you know, his parousia and all that then unfolds, that will be a day of victory. It'll be like a wedding feast, you know, the fulfillment of everything that we have longed for when we're in our right minds, resurrection bodies, new creation, the vindication of Jesus, the vindication of Christian people, when every knee bows to the Lord Jesus. But to those who are not trusting him, it will be a day of unimaginable woe and grief. Now, it doesn't feel like it now. We need the eyes of faith and the spectacles of the Holy Spirit to see and to feel these real realities, but things that we cannot perceive with our eyes. The world is so visible and so distracting. That day is so different. But Lord Jesus, help us to take you at your word, for the one taken, for it is a day and it is an eternity of woe and grief. And so, final heading, disciples must be ready. Jesus says, stay awake. He says, you must be ready. Now, being unprepared, it is terrible. Exams, insurance. How much more important to be spiritually prepared, because we do not know when he is coming. Imagine for a moment that a truly honoured guest is coming to your house sometime today. Now, you don't spend all of your time looking out of the window for their arrival. You actually get ready. You rush around the house. You throw all of the junk into the cupboards. You clean the bathroom. You hoover the dog. You actually get the place ready. Jesus here, he is not telling us to look out the window and see if we can spot the signs of his coming, because it will come suddenly. There are no signs that the Lord Jesus is just around the corner. It's like the burglar who comes suddenly in the night. There's no phone call in advance to say, I'm coming for your jewellery next Tuesday evening. Now, for someone who is not ready, maybe you know that you're not ready, not trusting, not resting in the Lord Jesus. Well, then death and this judgment day will be an utter grief. But there's a wonderful, and there's a wonderful command, an invitation now, isn't there? You know, Jesus says, you can come to me now, and I can come to you now in salvation, in grace, in blessing, such that on that day you can meet me with safety and with joy. You know, we become a disciple simply through prayer, by talking to him, by depending on him for the first time. Lord, I confess to you my sin. I want to turn from my sin and turn toward Jesus. Lord, I can trust only Jesus for the forgiveness I need, and for the safety I need, and for the joy that he promises me. It's a prayer you can pray any day. And then for the disciple, the one who is turned and trusting Jesus and travelling along the road through life with Jesus, actually our life's work is very simple. It's to be ready. In the next bit of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus gives us three short parables about being ready. That's where he tells us actually what it means to be ready. There's a wise servant who gets on with the job Jesus has given him. There are faithful virgins who have prepared for their bridegroom. There's a hard-working servant who invests everything he can in the kingdom of God. It's what we're going to think about next Sunday morning. You might like to read those passages during the week. I think fellowship groups, you're actually studying them this week. But just for now, Notice one thing about being ready. The parousia. We're talking about being ready for the coming of a person. It's not just an event. We sometimes talk about it like an event, a judgment, the judgment, which of course it is, but it's an encounter with a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is deeply personal. Every knee will bow before him. Now, if we love a person, we think about them. We want to spend time with them. We listen to them. We sacrifice our desires for them. We'll even study in order to please them. So if we love the Lord Jesus, we'll think about him. We'll spend time with him. We'll listen to him. We'll sacrifice our own desires. We'll study to learn how it is that we can please him, because we love him and because we don't want to meet him unprepared. Let's pause there. We'll take just a few moments to pray silently on our own. Then I'll gather us together again and introduce our last hymn. Let's take a moment for silent prayer.